Amen. All right. We are in a series. This is the second week of a two-part series. I'm going to get this. Called Lessons from My Dog. Last week we talked about how our pets, how they reflect their creator, they reflect our God. And specifically we talked about dogs because I'm a dog lover and I have two dogs, and so that's easy for me to talk about. And after the service last week, several people asked me if I had heard a song called God and Dog, and that's by Wendy J. Francisco. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but Megan has it for us, and so I found it, and I wanted to show it to you this morning because I think it kind of perfectly sums up what we talked about last week. So Megan, if you want to play that.
I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D. Same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance in my return with glee. Both love me no matter what, divine God and canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives, dog wags his tail. God thought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen. Bow wow. I look up and I see God.
All right. I hope y'all like that as much as I do. So I look up and I see God. I look down and I see my dog, right? I think that perfectly sums up what we talked about last week about how we see God reflected in our pets and how especially we see his steadfast love for us. And on Wednesday, we kicked off our midweek service. So it was our first time. And instead of meeting in here, which we'll do this coming Wednesday, it'll be in here at 7. What we did this past week is we had a blessing of the animals service in our courtyard. And so we had about 30 dogs and two cats, two brave cats that came out to be blessed. And if you know me, which you do, I was in heaven with all these dogs and cats. And it was just great. And Megan has a few pictures up on the screen that I want to show. There's Scott with Ellie and Chili. I introduced you to my dogs last week, and Chili is giving her hug like she likes to do, and Ellie's got her nose in something probably not good, right? She's checking it out, and then we have a few more. There's one of our happy dogs, and then there's one of the cats that got a blessing, and let's see, there's Sophie. And there, the Tops, they brought their cat, Tiger, and he was really well-behaved. It was impressive. And there are a couple other dogs, and I think that picture just perfectly sums up how we all felt about the event, right? I think all the dogs were kind of checking each other out, not quite sure, but we ended it without any tussles or any fights, and everyone was pretty good. So that was a lot of fun. So thank y'all for being a part of that. And today we're talking about how we see ourselves in our dogs. There are several ways I think that dogs model for us both what to do and what not to do, right? We love our dogs, but at the end of the day, they're still a dog and they still do things they're not supposed to do and they still get in trouble. And so our scripture this morning is found in Romans chapter 7. In your bulletin, you'll see you have verses 14 and 15, and then we're going to skip ahead, and we're also going to read verses 24 and 25. So if you'll turn with me to Romans or follow along on the screen. Verse 14 says, "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin." I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And if we jump down to verse 24, it says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God, God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And this is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. We had an Emmaus team meeting yesterday, and I'm part of the clergy team, and we were down in the fellowship hall, and I told the team that if I had to pick a life verse, verse 15 could probably be my life verse, if I'm really, really honest with myself, right? So I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I think over and over again, I find myself living into or living out these words of Paul, but I think that I can learn a couple of things from my dogs. This morning, I want to share with you six ways that we see ourselves in our dogs and how we can learn from them. And the first one is that dogs are not put off by differences. This week, I was telling Scott that my grandma called earlier this week, and we were talking, and she basically called to tell me that a member of our family is voting for the other candidate, and she could not believe. I mean, she was on the verge of hysterics. She wanted to know, how could this be? Where did she go wrong? I mean, how did this happen? And thankfully, I was smart enough not to share with her whom I'm voting for in this next election, right? And I don't think, I'm not going to share it with y'all either, because I don't think, you know, that's for another time or place, right? I imagine that we're all kind of having similar conversations, right? We're all talking about these different issues and different things with our friends and our family. And I think that if you were to go visit a friend or a family member that thinks differently from you, that maybe votes differently from you, if they have a dog, I'm pretty sure that the dog would greet you warmly and treat you as if you were voting for the right person, right? I don't think they would stop and judge you and ask you, you know, play 20 questions, right, before they interact with you. Dogs look past those differences. And I think the good news offered in Jesus Christ is that we don't have to stop loving due to our differences. And that's something that our dogs model for us perfectly. And it's something that's hard for us as human beings to do, to look past what makes us different and to grab hold of what actually, what gives us common ground. And so I think when we look at our pets, well, some of us might say that, you know, depending on what we're doing, well, have you ever told your dog or your cat, don't look at me that way, right? And so maybe it's just me, but that happens, you know, 11 p.m., go into the kitchen, look in the freezer, get the ice cream, right? And what I really think it is not so much that they're judging us, right? But I think it's more my own guilt and self-consciousness, right, that I project onto my dog. But I think, and I hope that we could be like our dogs, that we could look past those differences. And my second point is, like dogs, we struggle with sin. Author Barbara Kingsolver said this, a dog can't think that much about what he's doing. He just does what feels right. Does that sound familiar? How often do we just do what feels right? We just do what we want. We do what feels right in the moment. And how often do we just end up acting without thinking? Often does that get us into trouble? And I don't know about your dogs, but our dogs, Ellie and Chili, they love to play with their Nylabones and their toys. And they love the toys that squeak and that have all that stuffing in them. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that they destroy within 5 seconds, right? But it's their favorite thing. They have these beloved toys, and it blows my mind that they want them so badly just so they can shred them and pull out all the stuffing and find the little plastic squeaker and chew it until it squeaks no more. And yet we keep buying them for them, don't we? We go to PetSmart, or we see something, or we go to Marshall's, and they have that section of dog toys and treats by the cash registers, and we think, oh, let's get them this awesome stuffed duck, and knowing that it's not going to survive the night, right? And we keep doing it. We love them anyway. We play with them anyway. We train them. But even most good dogs, at the end of the day, they'll show you that they're still a dog. They destroy their toys, they destroy our shoes, they destroy our furniture, our houses. They roll in smelly, gross things. They get covered in dirt and leaves and grass, and like that picture, Ellie sticking her nose in something that she shouldn't be sticking her nose in. And it reminds me of verse 15 about, you know, I don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Ellie's also a digger, and it drives poor Scott nuts. I mean, he can't stand it that we go into the backyard and there are holes. And I think she gets very obsessive about catching lizards. Do your dogs do that in the backyard? She goes after the lizards, and I think she just kind of finds a spot where they hang out and thinks, if I dig and dig and dig, then maybe I'm going to get to some lizards. I think she thinks she's going to hit the jackpot, that there's just going to be a pile of lizards waiting for her. And she knows that she's not supposed to do it. She knows that she's not supposed to dig. And when we find a new hole, you know, we can start trying to cover it up. As soon as we even get the shovel and we're trying to cover it up and fix it, I mean, she's at the other end of the yard, right? She's got her head ducked and her tail between her legs, and she knows that she did something wrong. And if I ask her point blank, it's even worse. And I usually do that because I'm not a nice person, but I'll say, Ellie, did you dig this hole? And oh my gosh, she just falls all over herself with guilt and just can't believe that she dug another hole. And so I think, again, it's this idea that I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. My third point is that, like dogs, we are supposed to obey our master. And I think the most common commands that Scott and I give our dogs are down and stay. Over and over again, we're telling them to stay. We're telling them to just stay where they are and trust us. We're telling them to get down, get off the couch, get off of us. If you saw in that picture that Chili likes to give hugs, and so she likes to put her paws up and then just kind of wrap her front legs around you, and she just wants to be held. She's a rescue. She needs love, so she just wants to be held. She's constantly trying to get up on the couch, and she does this thing where she does like one paw at a time. Do you have dogs that do that, right? Just they think one paw, and then the other one, and then before they've got a third paw. So there's three paws on you with just one on the ground, thinking they're not really going to notice, are they? And before you know, they're full in your lap. And these are medium-sized dogs. I'm sure y'all have 80, 100-pound dogs that probably do the same. They think they're a little lap dog, don't they? So we're constantly telling them to get down, get off the bed, get off the couch. And next week, Scott and I are going on a road trip. We're leaving to head to Tennessee to visit my parents and my little brother. And on the way, we're going to stop in Arkansas at a state park, and we're going to do some camping. And we're taking the dogs. And so that'll be very interesting. So you should think positive thoughts that if ever we needed our dogs to obey the stay and the down and all those commands, that when we go on this road trip, we're really going to need them to listen to us. And so we've been trying to work with them on their leashes, and we're really hoping that that this goes smoothly, or else we may not do it again. I don't know. We'll see. But we, too, are called to obey our master. In the verses we just read, in verses 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" And in verse 25, he says, "Thank God, because the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And so we too must obey our master because he knows what's best for us. He saved us from sin and death, and everything that he commands is for our good. And we need to trust that. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is to walk in love." Which leads me to my next point. Like dogs, we are called to comfort one another, to love one another, and to offer comfort. As dog lovers, I feel that we always like to talk about just how loving and comforting our pets are. We talked about it a little bit last week, and some of you mentioned after the service that, you know, your dog knows, maybe even before you do, that you need to be comforted, that they sense it, that they can tell that you need comfort. And this week, Scott and I were reading through the book of Job, and we're doing this Bible plan on the YouVersion app. If you have the Bible app on your smartphone, we decided we wanted to do a plan that we could read together, and we were kind of ambitious because we chose the Bible in 90 days, and we've only been working on it since May, so I think we're in pretty good shape. I think we're on track to end at least before, you know, 2017 comes around. I think we may finish it in November. Thanks, Melanie. Melanie is like, that was a joke, y'all. That's... It's been way more than 90 days since we started this plan. But anyway, we were reading through Job, and Scott drew my attention to Job chapter 2, a few verses, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And in the New Living Translation, the header for that section on the app, it says that Job's friends share in his anguish. And so starting in verse 11, it says, when three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. And then their names are weird, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, but those are his friends. We won't hold that against them. They have weird names and weird cities that they're from. But then in verse 12, it says, when they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust in the air to cover their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. It seems to me that this is the kind of comfort that our dogs actually offer us. And it's the kind of comfort that we're called to offer other people. The kind where we're willing to just sit with someone, to just be, to recognize that sometimes suffering, there's a suffering that exists that's too great for words. And don't you love that dogs don't need words? Or cats. Our pets don't need words to comfort us. Their lack of speech doesn't diminish their ability to share in our anguish, to sense that, and to comfort us. The Apostle Paul also said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, he comforts us in all our troubles so that, and you know that I love a good so that statement, right? It's not just there for fun, just to read and gloss over, but it's there, there's an action part. So he comforts us so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And the fifth one is that we are adopted, that we are welcomed into the family. And so I don't know how many of you have adopted your pets, but Ellie and Chili are both adopted. I adopted Ellie as a 7-week-old puppy, and Scott adopted Chili after finding her outside his mom's house. And Chili, her name is C-H-I-L-L-Y, because he found her on a cold and chilly night. Get it? Those people think it's like chili dog, like the food, right? But no, it's because it was cold and rainy when he found her. So he rescued her. And I was talking with Ashley Barker, our children's director, and I know that she rescued her dog, Rocky, who's a scrappy little dog that looks like an Ewok, you know, from Star Wars. He's got that like fuzzy little face. And so she rescued Rocky from an organization, and she was telling me this last week that her husband, Jarrett, would say, it's more like Rocky rescued her, right? Have you heard that before? That, you know, we think we're rescuing our animals, or even we think we're doing something good for others, and it turns out that we receive the benefits of that, that we're on the receiving end. And we too are adopted into the family. We too are rescued by God. In Galatians, it talks about how we are considered God's very own children, that we are welcomed into the family. And again, in our scripture for today, in verses 24 and 25, Paul says that the answer is in Jesus Christ, that because of the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that we are adopted, that we are co-heirs with Christ. And finally, I think the ways that we can learn from our dogs is that dogs show gratitude. I think one reason many of us love dogs so much is their ability to be happy and grateful and joyous no matter what. For every treat, for every belly rub, for every game of fetch, for just every bit of attention that we give them, they are so, so grateful. I think I have a lot to learn from our dogs, from Ellie and Chili in this department. I think we live in a culture of more, of bigger and better and nicer and newer and faster and just all these things. We live in a world of social media where this kind of false sense of perfection is plastered all over our feeds, and we look at that and we think, that's not at all what my life looks like. But dogs don't care about any of that, right? They just know that you love them and that they have a home and that they're safe. And I wonder what it would be like if we were grateful for what we have, the way our dogs are grateful for what they have. If we were grateful for the good gifts that God gives us, what would it look like even to simply be grateful to be in his presence, to be in relationship with him? Because I think so many times our dogs just want to be near us. They want to be where we are. I don't know if you have dogs at home and you've ever found yourself doing something. And for example, if I'm washing dishes, I can be at the sink for a few minutes and not even realize that a dog has managed to lay right behind my feet and I nearly trip over a dog, you know, turning around to go do the next thing. They just want to be close to you. And so I think the bottom line is this: be the person your dog thinks you are. Have you heard that said before? To be the person your dog thinks you are. There's this great company called Life is Good, and there's the image there, one of their t-shirt designs. They have awesome t-shirts and hats and coffee mugs, and this is one of my favorites, this idea to be the person that your dog thinks that you are. And I wonder what that would look like, because I know I want to be the person that Ellie and Chili think I am. And I don't know about you, I mean, I kind of said it jokingly, but this idea that verse 15 is my life verse, right? That more often than not, that's the verse I live out, that I want to do what is right, but I don't, and instead I do what I hate. Well, I'm kind of tired of living that way. I'm tired of wanting to do right and not doing it. I'm tired of doing the things that I know I shouldn't and then failing to do the things I know I should. So what would it look like if every time we looked at our animals, we looked at our dogs, that we not only saw God reflected in them, but that we would see the calling that God has placed on us, see the calling that he's given us to be more like him, to be more like his son, to love, to look past differences, to offer comfort, to overcome our sin and to obey our master, to live like we are actually children of God, that we're adopted into the family. So be the person that your dog thinks you are. Can you imagine what that would look like if we lived that way? Won't you bow with me? I'm going to invite you to pray as we close our service. Father God, we thank you so much for everything you have given us, for all of creation, everything around us that just reflects who you are. And God, while it's fun and maybe even silly to talk about our animals and dogs and all of this stuff, we know that the truth is that they do reflect you because you made them. God, help us to remember that every time we look at them, every time we interact with them. Help us to remember your steadfast love, your forgiveness. And God, help us to be the people that our dogs think we are. Help us to live into that calling. Help us to love and comfort, to look past the things that separate us and make us different, and help us to find that common ground, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to follow your commands and help us to be grateful for everything that we have, God. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. All right, so my challenge is that for you to be the person that your dog thinks that you are. Because what would the world look like if we actually were able to do that? I mean, there's a whole world out there that needs us to be that kind of person. And so that's my challenge to you. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.